This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
You escaped a war.
A hand to whip.
A Paramount Plus new original series.
How many former slaves have had the same fortune that you have?
Starring David Oyelowo, Donald Sutherland, and Dennis Quaid.
You think you can handle the weight of the badge?
I know I can.
Well, let's make it official.
New original series.
I'm Bass Reeves, and I'm the law of this land.
Lawman, Bass Reeves. Stream new episodes every Sunday on Paramount Plus. T's and C's apply. Subscription required, 18 plus.
Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about Vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Okay, I started.
You start?
I started. Oh. Dave.
Nothing like
ASMR.
Nothing like watered down Diet Pepsi.
It's got too much bite. Put a little soda water in there.
You think Diet Pepsi has too much bite?
No, I'm just busting the ball. Can I get a soda and water, please? Yeah, it's a Pepsi and water, please. Pepsi and soda water.
What's up, dude? I'm
trying to get there, man.
Yeah.
A big old cup of iced coffee.
Oh, is that what that is?
I got 2 days in town.
Yeah.
And I got busy.
Yeah, dude. It's what happens when you're in demand. You're a,
how about that?
You're a mover and a shaker in this town, Kyle.
No, I booked this. I knew which days I was choosing to book.
Oops. That's my computer.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I'm also time change.
Ugh. I fucking hate it.
We can get rid of that.
It's dark at 5:20.
Somebody's made that joke, but like I don't know any president that says they'll get rid of daylight savings. Like, yeah, I'll vote for you.
It's dark at 5:20 p.m.
It's worthless
out here.
It's worthless shit.
I don't get it. Although I will say this, all right. It sometimes makes, like, if you're having a night at home with the lady. You're going to watch a movie, get high. You know, every now and then we'll just have those, like, we're in for the day. We'll get home in the afternoon, whatever. And just that feeling of, I'm done for the day. I don't have any spots tonight. I don't have to go back out tonight. If you're having one of those nights, it makes that seem a lot longer. Like, you know, more of a slumber party thing.
Nah,
like,
fuck all that, man.
You know, it's nothing.
Yeah, no, man. I don't, then fine, I'm at home and it's light out. Fine.
Yeah.
It's what I mean. Yeah, it's for farmers that get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Now that's not we've destroyed all the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, it's a sluggish time of year.
Yeah.
And I laid in bed too long this morning after I woke up listening to a podcast about Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh yeah.
And about how did he get famous and have all his money and stuff.
Where did he get his money?
I think Ponzi schemes. Mm. Yeah, was a creep early on with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
and then was just one of these financial scumbags we heard about in the Madoff type of things.
Okay.
Taking everybody's savings, saying they're going to invest it in secure, put their money in secure places. Instead, they were just gambling with it. Yeah, real piece of shit all around. Can't believe he didn't kill himself.
Have you seen all the trolling stuff that's been going on with that? Like, I saw some news story the other day, and it was like some guy, it was like local news out of Phoenix or something, or may have even been like Fox News, but it was just some guy who was like part of some like dog foundation.
Yeah, but that Epstein didn't kill himself.
At the very end.
Well, I think it's good. Yeah, remind people, hey, no, that's not what happened. High-powered people covered their tracks.
Yeah.
In pretty much broad daylight.
Yeah.
And we're just going to roll over and take it. Mm-hmm. So
that's And it happened. Is weird, like this whole...
And the guards just got arrested.
Yeah.
For not doing their job or something. What, because you let someone in to murder him?
And it is weird because the guy was a scumbag and he was probably a pedophile. You know, so it's like, fuck that guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't want my government just killing people and then pretending that they committed suicide. You know, that's scary.
Yeah, they're cleaning their tracks, mm-hmm. which is now you got a bunch of people that are getting weird about conspiracies, like everything's a conspiracy. Like I read so much about the people that tend to believe in conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. in spite of facts being put towards them. Mm-hmm. But this one's pretty much like, no, the government,
yeah,
whoever it was, they're like, oh yeah, we all fucked little kids because he procured them for us.
Yeah.
And now he's going to spill the beans.
And wasn't it like hundreds of people that were probably going to get ratted out?
It was a Wondery podcast called The Mysterious Mr. Epstein or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he just had all kinds of people on his roster. Had a private island.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was gnarly. But anyway, so I was listening to that. So, with the two guards just got, what did they get? Charged by federal grand jury duty with conspiracy and filing false records in connection with their actions.
Hmm.
So what are they doing? Saying that like, oh no, I went to sleep or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they went to bed. No, they fucking let a dude in there to kill him. Anyway, that's what happened. That's how that went down.
Mm.
What's going on with you, Dave?
Oh, man. Where to begin? Where to begin, dude?
What's up with your sweet life? What's up with your sweet red life right now?
Well, it's a lot going on in my life, man.
Yeah,
I mentioned last week.
You moved to Orange County.
Yeah, got engaged. Got a fist fight. Moved to Orange County. Not necessarily in that order.
We covered some of that business. Yeah.
I guess the order would be got in a fist fight, got engaged, moved to Orange County. So, yeah, moved to Orange County, man. had to vacate the premises fairly quick.
Well, we heard. Yeah, we all heard a bit about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into it too much, right?
I don't care. Fuck it, you know. Fucking guy came at me and I fucking punched him.
You punched out your neighbor.
Punched out my... And he fucking started it. And when I say started, I don't mean like, he started it. I mean... It was a verbal altercation, which I was at fault. And I was trying to be apologetic. And I was trying to be understanding. My cat got on his balcony. And he lost his fucking shit. And he started screaming at my girlfriend. And I came out to play peacemaker.
You punched a fool in the face.
Bro. And I was being calm as I could be. Here's the thing, too. I know I have a tad of a reputation of being whatever. But back in the day, all right, I'm 42. I'm a level-headed guy. I'm definitely not a bully. Have never been a bully. I've never, ever started a physical fight. Never started one.
You stand for justice.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody's thought... different other than that.
I've never, but I know, it's like some of my friends joke about how, like, oh, if somebody were going to get in a fight tonight, it would be Dave. And it's not that I look for trouble.
Fight, but you wouldn't put up with some shit.
Yeah, I don't put up with shit. And it's not like he fucking called me a name and I punched him. Like, I got thick skin. I got a decent brain in my skull. Like, at the end of the day, I don't want trouble. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want any anything to sidetrack or derail my life. But yeah, fuck it. I'll talk about it. All right. Cat got on his balcony, tried to apologize. There's a lot of other details that just, I don't, not.
You had spoken with one neighbor.
Yeah, Kat. Spoken to one.
Guys understand. Yeah. Understood what was going on.
Cat got on two neighbors' balconies. Yeah. One guy, I knock on the door, explained to him, hey, man, sorry, we never met. Live two doors down. Cat's on your balcony. He's like, oh, shit, man. I got a cat, too. Come on in. Let's solve this problem. Couldn't have been a nicer dude. Then go out on his balcony. Now the cat's on the other neighbor's balcony. Mm-hmm. Go knock on that guy's door. Doesn't respond. Knock on it again. Doesn't respond. Katie hops over to grab the cat for 3 seconds. Then we hear, what the fuck? And then Katie's like, oh, shit, you are home. Well, I'm so sorry. You know, my cat's on your balcony. She only hopped on the balcony because we knocked twice. To see if, you know, hey, man.
Nobody's home. We got to get the cat out
there. Yeah, got to get the cat.
The cat's going to go run away otherwise.
He freaks the fuck out. What? Then I go knock on the door again to apologize. He doesn't know it's me. He yells, fuck off, Katie. I guess they had a beef a long time ago. This guy's been living there like 10 years. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. You know, at that point, we got the cat back. So it was like the problem solved.
What was the long time ago beef?
I don't know, just one of those neighborly, like somebody was being loud.
Yeah.
But I've lived there 2 years. I've literally never seen the guy. Never met him, never seen him, never spoke to him. So at that point, you know, I'm knocking on the door a third time to apologize and explain why my girlfriend was on his balcony. Fuck off, Katie. So we leave it alone. Got the cat back. No problem. Okay, our neighbor's an asshole, but no big deal. Who cares?
Yeah.
Never even met the guy. 5 minutes later, Katie goes out to take the trash out, and then I hear two people screaming at each other.
Scufflings.
And he wouldn't answer the fucking door before or after the incident to listen to us explain what's going on, but makes a beeline to the manager's office to complain on us, which is fine. So while he's coming back from the manager's office, Katie's going out to take out the trash, and they get into it. They're screaming at each other. And I didn't see this part because I didn't see like the first 10 seconds of it because I was in the apartment, but apparently he like got in her face.
Yeah.
Now, had I seen that, the story may have gone a little differently.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't see that because I'm not going to let somebody just get up in her face. But I didn't see that part. All I heard was them screaming at each other, and all I wanted to do was for both all parties to be quiet because we're out in the common area. I don't want to feel like fucking trailer trash, you know, out here screaming at each other. So I'm like, Katie, go inside.
What a term.
Some people
live in trailers and they're perfectly nice people.
Yeah, no, not all people who live in trailers are trash, but there are
not
some.
Not all trash.
Yeah. So I get Katie calmed down. I get her to go in, and now I'm not angry. I'm not hot. I'm not anything. I'm like, hey man, look, I totally understand. I see why you're freaked out. And he just wasn't hearing it. She's on my balcony. Who the fuck are you? She's on me. He just kept repeating those two phrases.
Yeah.
She was on my balcony. Who the fuck are you? Well, I'm fucking Santa Claus. Who the fuck do you think I am? Deduce who I am, idiot.
Deduce.
So finally,
how dare you to deduce?
But he just was not interested in our apology or explanation or anything. And I was like, man, I get it. I get that you're freaked out. But listen to what I'm saying. Our cat got on your balcony. I knocked on your door twice to try to get your attention and get your permission or whatever. It just wasn't having it. We're jawing at each other for about 30, 60 seconds. Not once did I raise my voice. Mm. Not once did I swear. Not once did I ever think that it was going to lead to a physical altercation. Because you know, I'm good at sizing up a situation and figuring out how I need to react.
Yeah.
And the very end, we weren't getting anywhere. And I said, let's start over. And I stuck my hand out and I said, let's start over. Got off to a horrible start. I didn't even catch your name. I'm Dave. And I hold my hand out to shake his hand. He stares at me with a stupid fucking look on his face for about 5 seconds. Finally, I tap him on the elbow nobody would ever consider this an aggressive gesture. I gave him a dismissive, well, good luck, buddy, or nice try, buddy. But like the subtlest, slightest little double tap on the elbow, and I said, I can't remember if I said, well, fuck off or good luck, or I said something to like this conversation. Yeah. So, you're not going to shake my hand? Then all right, I tried. Go fuck yourself. I can't remember what I said, but I literally just tapped him on the elbow like, you know, have a good night, idiot. And when I stepped to turn around to walk back to my apartment, and soon as I took a step and turned around, he goes, "Did you really just touch me?" And then he shoved me very aggressively in the back. Right there, he shoved me in the back. What does that tell you? Like, it wasn't that one of those classic, you know, you're in my face and I'm going to shove your chest to get you off me. I'm walking away. He shoves me in the back. And even at that point, I had told myself in that split second, if I turn around and this guy's standing where he was standing, fine. Have a good night. No harm, no foul. I'm going to continue walking into my apartment. He shoves me aggressively in the back. Now I'm standing in my doorway. My door actually kept me from falling. I turn around, and the fucking dude's charging at me with clenched fist. He does a quick little 10-foot charge with clenched fist, tight quarters, no room for me to maneuver. I defended myself with one punch to the fucking eyebrow, and he was unconscious before he hit the floor.
And now you get to...
And the irony there, too, is I didn't want to physically hurt the guy. I was trying to keep him from hurting me. The irony there, as soon as I popped him, I saw that it wasn't like a real fast, like, boom, hit the floor. It was kind of he wilted and crumbled. And, like, as soon as I popped him and I saw that he was crumbling, I then literally, like, caught his head and, like, guided him down so he wouldn't smack the back of his head on the concrete floor and hurt himself even more. So, and then the neighbor who I had just met, the other neighbor, walks out right when that happens. This, keep in mind, none of us have ever met each other before. I think the two neighbors may have known each other, but I never met the nice neighbor, had never met the dickhead. Soon as the dude crumbles unconscious, the nice neighbor comes out, who I had just met 60 seconds earlier, 2 minutes earlier, whatever. And I go, "Hey, Wayne, I know this looks terrible, man, but I swear to God he started it. I'm so sorry." And then he was like, "Oh, shit, yeah, okay, you know what, just go on inside, I'll take care of this." Anyway, so there's that fucking story. And we got asked to leave the property, not because I got into a physical altercation, but because, A, we had a cat, we weren't supposed to have a cat, and B, Katie made a breach of the renter's agreement by entering someone's balcony.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to solve it for your... property.
We didn't break into his apartment and jack off on his bed.
Property, the owner of the building or property manager is like, "I need to solve this by one of the parties leaving," and you broke rules, so you're going to go. It's not right, but that I could see that being the
thing. Which is fine, because I've been wanting to move for a while. I don't like that neighborhood. I don't like that apartment. So now I live in Orange County for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And it just so happened, I don't know if I talked a whole lot about this on the show, but Katie's dad got a nice big house down in Orange County. Lives alone now because his wife died 6 months ago. Got this great big house, living alone. Well, 2 weeks ago, he falls and breaks his hip.
Yeah.
And he's still in the hospital, the rehab center for that. So he was going to need some help anyway. He's scheduled to get out in about a week or two. So it was just made sense, like mutually beneficial.
All right. Well, this is the Q&A episode, so I hope your question was, what's going on with Dave? Because that was... 16 minutes of finding out Dave's scenario.
But how could I have handled that differently?
I don't know. I'm with you on it.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't have verbally triggered him.
This guy sounded like a fucking jerk.
In his mind, it was...
He got treated like a jerk. He behaved like a jerk and got treated like a jerk. Unfortunately, you have to... there's consequences for you.
In his litigious little mind, I think he was like, "Well, technically this guy touched me, so that gives me the green light to kick his ass." Well, sorry, but it didn't turn out that way, pal.
Yeah, he sounds like a loser.
Yeah. So there we go. And that's that, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
Corey Childers asks, "What are you guys' favorite sneakers?" If we want to change up the mood a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
What's your favorite sneakers, Dave?
Man, used to. See, here's my thing with sneakers. Low-key is the more low-key, the better. Like in high school, you know, like in the 90s when everybody was getting into, I don't know, I don't like multicolor. I don't like fucking robot sneakers.
No, you're not a flashy dude.
Not a flashy guy. I've always loved Chuck Taylors because they're kind of classic and timeless.
Yeah.
You know, they were popular in the 50s. They're popular now. I like the way they look.
Terrible shoes.
Not comfortable at all.
No, garbage shoes.
Not comfortable at all. So, stylistically, I like the look of a Chuck Taylor, but I don't wear them anymore because they hurt my fucking feet.
Got to put inserts in there.
Yeah. So now I just, what do I got? I got these Nike Air Force something. Like the fucking cross training type Nike black Nikes. I don't know. I'm not a sneakerhead. I like the retro Jordans. I like that look. The old school kind of 80s retro Jordans.
I agree with those. I'm not a big flashy guy. I was always an Adidas. What I wear? Stan Smiths, shell toes. I like Adidas or Vans.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing. Yeah. I'll throw a flashy one on once in a while to change it up. Mm-hmm. But I was always an Adidas or a Vans guy. If I'm just going to the store to get shoes, those are the ones I'm trying on. I don't even mess around with other brands. Classic Vans, skate high, skate low. Who has a question? Alexandra Onesto. Hey, guys. Wonder if you think the comedy scene is big enough to be classified into genres, and if so, what would y'all fall under? I think it is, but it's harder than music.
Why is that?
Well, I think the band is going to stick to a genre and stay with it to keep the fans, because music fans have a wider... It's a wider range. Comedy's usually like, if it's funny, it's funny. I like storytelling comics. I like one-liner comics. Mm-hmm. I like to laugh, but mm-hmm. people like to do different things when they respond to music.
Okay.
Oh, I want to put on music to chill out and clean the house to. I normally try to be mellow. Oh, I like when I'm working out or doing a thing. I want to listen to some hard charging music. So I think music fits more speeds of life.
Whereas, regardless of what genre of comedy it is, the end result is always laughter.
Yeah, I want to sit down. I mean, I think there is, like, there's one-liner dudes. There's still, mm-hmm. I guess, what you would call alt comedy, but mm-hmm. it's not really. It's just alt comedy. But mm-hmm. yeah, storytelling, kind of subject matter, blue comedy, dark comedy. I mean, obviously, your sketch and your improv comedy. Mm-hmm. But you could do that. I just don't know why. And what would we fall under? I don't know.
Well, the why might be, like, I think Maria Bamford referenced this in a joke, but just, mm-hmm. like, you know, oh, we've got, what's going on at your club tonight? Comedy.
Yeah.
What kind? Comedy. You know, like, if you're wanting to see, you know.
Yeah, I forget what club is like. If you're fans of these comedians, you mm-hmm. might like who's here this week.
That makes sense.
Good on them. Instead of thinking like, oh, this might ostracize people, or like, well, maybe it'll actually get people to take a chance and come in and see comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bamford's definitely her own category.
Mm-hmm. But like, think about like how broad, you know, if you wanted to go see.
But also, that's on you to look it up then.
Yeah, true.
People walk into a comedy club going, well, I like comedy, so I'm going to go see it. I mm-hmm. never did that with music. I did, like, comedy, I would do that as somebody who's already doing comedy. I'll mm-hmm. go sit in the back of a club and watch. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, I see both sides. I see paying money, like, I'm on a date, and comedy should be a safe place because it's comedy, and mm-hmm. everybody likes to laugh. But how do you like to laugh? Some people like to laugh because they want to watch somebody fall downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Other people like to laugh because they like family circus cartoons. Mm-hmm. That's two different types of things of what makes you laugh.
Nah, yeah.
I got no answer.
I hear you, man. Give That's a good
what,
question.
What do you got? Give me get one out of here.
Eli Bueno. Dave, I also recently got engaged, and I'm serving barbecue at my wedding. What do you think is better for barbecue without making a huge mess? Half of slow roasted chicken per person or brisket? Without making a huge mess, you want to go with something they can eat with a knife and fork. So I would go with brisket. I love roasted chicken, but at a wedding, you don't want people eating chicken off the bone, gnawing on a chicken thigh, getting sauce all over your face. You know?
Is it? Well, that's how I was like, was it buffet? I was confused. Was he doing buffet style?
I mean, regardless of buffet or not, like, I don't know. If you're trying to keep it not a mess, I would go with the brisket. But with that, you got
people
also...
People love brisket.
Well, too. People love good brisket. Brisket is also the easiest of the smoked meats to fuck up because it's just so temperamental, and you got to be real careful.
Temperamental-ass brisket?
You got to be careful with that brisket. But, yeah, I'd go with brisket. I'm not saying I like them equally. I love barbecue chicken. I love a chicken thigh, chicken quarter, chicken half. But, you know, at a wedding in nice clothes, stick to the knife and fork. Here's a fun one. Jen Thomas. Question for Dave. You're locked in a gymnasium with 1,000 6-year-olds.
Ooh, all right.
Of all shapes, sizes, and backgrounds. Without warning, they all turn and begin to savagely attack you. Can you survive the onslaught, or do they eventually take you down? 1,000
of them?
I think I would get tired before. You know, I would wear out, and they would eventually.
I'm trying to think of the size and shape of your average 6-year-old.
6-year-old's tiny. Yeah. Man, 1,000 of them.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a nightmare.
And background. See, I'm like, of all shapes and sizes and backgrounds. I'm like, what's the, yeah, I was thinking, what's the mentality of 6-year-old? Are they street brawling 6-year-olds?
Yeah.
Are they classic 6-year-olds that are going to get scared, you know?
Like
maybe I'll get rid of half of them just by yelling, like, stand in the corner. And like, oh, yeah, sorry.
Yell at them.
Yeah, just get a real stern voice, and you might be able to eliminate a lot of that 1,000
yeah.
from the get-go.
Louis C.K. had that joke yep. about that, about how his kid one time had like a black eye when she was like 5 or 6, mm-hmm. and he took her to an event, and then like the other parents were giving him dirty looks, like oh if I did you oh you think I did that if I'd have done that I would have destroyed her. She's 5. I could take out hundreds of them. He just does this act out where he's just bonking them all on the heads.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's the part of the question. Are they obedient, you know?
I think if I had a limitless amount of stamina, which I do not, I think I could, you know, 1,000 6-year-olds. But
I think psychologically you can overcome a large portion of
yeah
them. Yeah.
Then now we got to think about what technique. What am I doing? Just punches to the face? Am I? Oh, they're short. Head kicks.
I don't know if you want to go with the actual literal violence here.
Yeah, that's true. I've had enough talking of violence today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you want to beat up these 6-year-olds. Like I said, you just tell them the floor's lava, yeah. and then you got 900 of them.
As long as they don't push me in the back.
Out of the bleachers, yeah.
Don't push me in the back and charge me.
Bill Aldridge says, Kyle, my band, the Vaudevillians, Vaudeville, I don't know what it's called, from Chicago, will be on the road and playing Appleton the same night as you. Oh, they want to share a drink. Oh, well, yeah, I might be out that night.
I know Bill. Bill is a sweet guy. I met his family. Bill's the guy that brought me a knife, just unsolicited. He brought me a knife to my show last time I was in Chicago.
Oh, all right.
And he reached out to me directly and told me to tell you what he's telling you now.
Oh, so he's from and then Sean Poulter, another Patreon. Mm-hmm. They're just all going to hang out. Well, yeah. Everybody hang out in Appleton.
Yeah, Bill's a good dude. Yeah. Good Chicago folks. And yeah, go see his band if you got some time.
Right, yeah, hit me up on the book or something. I got 2 shows that night. We'll see where I'm at.
Watch out now.
Jen Thomas. I'm going to do 2 questions from Jen Thomas because then she said, any thoughts on dudes who wear Affliction shirts? I don't have any fashion commentary here. I just think they're hilarious. 1,000 6-year-olds all wearing Affliction shirts.
Well, then now they deserve it.
Yeah, no, now you know they want to fight.
Yeah.
That's my thought on people who wear Affliction shirts. They look like 6-year-olds who want to fight all the time.
I think guys who wear Affliction shirts.
Are they still out there?
Oh, yeah. They're not as many as there were 8 years ago, mm-hmm. but they're still out there. I think those are guys that don't listen to public opinion.
Yeah, they just didn't know.
Are you not aware that this is the punchline of a million different jokes?
Yeah, but for somebody like me, you could say anybody wearing an actual jersey, mm-hmm. anybody wearing a football jersey with jeans looks the same to me as a dude in an Affliction shirt.
The difference, in my opinion, is that a jersey, even though I do think that's a bit cheesy, that's still an association with a real thing. Oh, I've been a fan mm-hmm. of this team my whole life. What's the personal association with the tacky ass Affliction shirt?
I think it's people who just didn't know that mm-hmm. everybody else is making fun of them. Yeah. And if that's the case, live your life.
What's the other one that about the same time? Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy was
Ed Hardy and Affliction were kind of
Yeah, well, that's just fashion is pretty silly in general. Of like, yeah. They spent a lot of money on this thing that I full well know will not be popular next year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's it just seems like one of the most wasteful things to follow with your life.
That's true. Like, I get people wanting to feel look good and feel good in your clothes, but like,
but yeah, I feel like anybody else, like, you find a generally the wordplay sounds bad here, but undateable look, mm-hmm. not meaning that you'll be alone forever, mm-hmm. but like, oh, that's your look. And it's not of it's like, oh, this guy's stuck in the 80s. It's,
yeah.
It's like, no, it's your look. It winds up being pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
Jeans and t-shirts. I got more clothes here at the house. If I'm on the road, though, I pack light and I don't pack a lot of options. But if I'm at home, I'll put on. I got my silly outfits for this and that. If I feel like going out wearing a big loud shirt or something, yeah. I'll do it. But
see, I've gone the opposite. Like in the last year, and I'm sure you've probably noticed, I've got I wear this black Carhartt t-shirt. And I have 8 of the same shirt just because I like it. It's comfortable. It's not dated. Like, I feel like this shirt is going to look fine 30 years from now.
Well, I don't know what else you've been wearing otherwise.
I wear that and I wear my clutch hoodie. Yeah, that's literally all I have.
You haven't changed it up too much.
But I just like, I don't know. It's that I'm not comparing myself to Einstein, but you hear that theory of like he wore the same thing every day because that was one less thing he had to
think
about.
You're not comparing yourself to Einstein.
Do not mistake. Do not get confused. I'm not on
David
his level.
David Einstein are a lot alike.
A lot of people try to lump us together.
Clothes every day.
But I do like that concept of like it's just one less thing I have to worry about, you know. And I will say this, like, okay, I'll turn the spotlight on myself. Apparently, a punchline I've noticed in the last few years is cargo shorts. Oh, cargo shorts are dated and lame. I like them. I got one pair of army green cargo shorts I wear all the time because there's pockets. I could put sandwiches. I could put knives.
Also, guess what? If you're out wearing shorts, mm-hmm. fashion isn't an issue.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
If you're out wearing shorts, there's no high society function, but also shorts.
Yeah.
Get fucked. Wear cargo shorts.
Yeah, I like my cargo shorts.
I love how the whole thing, it was like ladies that would like talk about guys don't like high-waisted jeans. Guys hate high-waisted jeans, but then shit all over dudes wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah.
How about you wear what you want to do to feel comfortable? I'll wear what I want to feel comfortable. And who gives a hot fuck?
Yeah.
The rest of it, like any fashion, that's fashion before function.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all maybe put on like a jacket or something we like, doesn't fit great, but I look good in it. I'm going out tonight. We all got that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think high heels are the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I feel bad for women never look like they're happy in them.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're doing it. They look stupid and torturous, and I think you're foolish for wearing them, unless you're happy wearing them.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't. Please stop doing things for men.
Out here too, man, like, I have this thought about once a day, and I know this is not right, but I don't mean anything by it. Of course, it's going to be a buzzword that might trigger some people, but especially in LA, about once a day, I'll see a guy, because the guys who are trying hard out here, fashion-wise, it's so nauseating. About once a day, I'll see a guy, and I'll think to myself, oh, he better be gay. If he's gay, that's fine. I expect, I know I'm generalizing, stereotyping, but if you're gay, I expect you to be a little more flamboyant, adventurous. But I'll see guys with like just the silliest fucking little outfits, and I'm like, oh, he better be gay.
Yeah, well, then this is where I see the other side. I'm like, okay, that's the way you want to express yourself. I think it's silly to chase it and spend money on it.
Yeah.
But if that's how you want to express yourself, I mean, we have tattoos.
Yeah.
That's fashion. That's permanent.
Yeah.
That's why I can say that fashion is fleeting, because my shit is dated and it's there forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess maybe better if you just want to spend a few $1,000s every year on something that you...
To each his own.
Cycle. What else we got?
Ray McScriff. Is that your real name, Ray? That's a pretty nice.
Ray McScriff.
Ray McScriff. Dave, What's your opinion on Traeger grills and all the other various brands of electric smokers hitting the market? Personally, I find them to be completely hack. Was that your stomach?
I think so.
That was a nice growl. I have some coworkers who have them who think of themselves as barbecue masters, don't even know how to manage an actual wood fire. Also, the two of you guys have any NSFW life hacks. I couldn't agree with you more, Ray. Well, here's the problem. Okay, here's the debate. Traeger grills and these electronic smokers and these pellet smokers, they got these smokers now, Kyle, where you put the meat on, you put the wood pellets in, and then it's all like electric in that you dial in the temperature and you dial, just like an oven, you dial in the temperature and you dial in the time. And yes, okay, if the end game is I just want my meat cooked properly, then yes, I understand that. But don't be swinging your barbecue dick around, you know, like you've really done something.
Oh, because you use those things.
Yeah, because that it is kind of like cheating. It's, I mean, again, if you're just wanting good barbecue and you don't want to have to worry with doing it yourself, and all right, that's fine. But like, don't puff your chest out like you're a pit master when all you're doing is dialing in some fucking digits. Like, there is an art to smoking barbecue the traditional way with wood, you know, what type of wood, how hot do you get it. Basically, barbecue just comes down to low and slow. You get that temperature that you want, yeah, usually around 225, 250, and then you maintain it consistently for a period of time. Fucked up barbecue comes when it's 250 for an hour and then it's 300 for an hour. When the temperature's fluctuating, it's going to fuck up your thing. So there is an art to, like, knowing how to manage your right. fire.
So,
yeah, I think the electric smokers are, you know, it's cheating, but
manual transmission versus automatic.
Absolutely.
Transmission.
So, yeah. NSFW life hacks. I don't know what that would, not suitable for work.
Powder your dick and balls in the summertime.
Oh, okay. Right.
Shit. Inner thighs. Get it all, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Powder up. That's one thing I like to do. Powder mm-hmm. up. Travel with wet wipes.
Mm-hmm. I love the wet wipe.
Yeah.
Why would you not want your butthole as clean as possible?
Well, especially if you're stuck in airports or you know you're going to be on an airplane and mm-hmm. connecting flight and you just got swamp ass all day. That'll change yeah. your whole mood.
Yeah.
In addition to the powder, it's more just, you know, just undercarriage maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's lascivious or dirty or anything, yeah. but that's a little thing you can do for yourself. It'll change your mood towards your day.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know you're walking around like a gritty asshole.
Ugh.
You know?
Gross.
You just got just the sandy back there.
Ah, no good.
Sandy backsides.
In that ballpark there, this isn't really a hack in that it doesn't really achieve anything, but I think I've mentioned this before. I like a shower with the detachable shower head. You know, the I like this is just my personal, I don't even know if this is sexual or this where this would fall, but I really enjoy when I'm done with my shower, I'll take that shower head off the holster and keep it in my right hand. I will turn the heat as hot as it will physically go. With my left hand, I will lift up my ball sack, and I will just hose down the undercarriage of the ball sack with the hottest water possible just because it feels good.
Well, that's definitely a to-you situation.
Okay.
I think so.
Somebody try that out and tell me I'm wrong. If you're the kind of person that enjoys that kind of weird pain, like an Indian, or you're not supposed to say Indian, but the twisty wrist rug burn, oh, that's the greatest thing in the world. So it scratches the same itch, no pun intended. But yeah, just squirt that high pressure water right up under your ball sack there and get it real hot. And tell you what, here's a hack for that, a hack within a hack. Give it a little scratch beforehand. Irritate it a little bit.
You just need to go to a dominatrix.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Hmm. All right.
That's that. Yeah, I think you just need to turn a corner and realize
really?
That you derive pleasure from
like, I don't get a boner from it or, you know. But
it's not about it. It's satisfaction from pain. I think that's
now if I could get like an actual fire hose, you know, like some real hot PSI
hot fire hose,
some real PSI wind up in the ER with missing a testicle.
Yeah, all Dave right. blew his nuts off. Dave went and blew his nuts off trying to satisfy his urges.
Oh God!
All right, what else we got here? Let's see. Who are we talking to? Christopher Melkowski. Any advice on building back when the plan you had for life changes? I went to rehab and got sober 8 months ago, and right after my four-year relationship with my fiance fell apart because I stayed in and she didn't want to stop the party yet. Wait. I went to rehab and got sober 8 months ago, and right after... Oh, okay. Fiance wanted to keep partying.
Yeah, he changed his life, and she didn't want to change her life.
Sorry for not being funny. That seems like one of those things that's crummy now, but good thing that I had. Like, if sobriety is what's going to get you to the next phase in life, and someone who wasn't going to... And I always am very leery about speaking like I got any kind of authority on this. Mm-hmm. But here's my opinion. That if somebody wasn't going to stand by you because you were trying to get sober, what else weren't they going to stand by you with after you got married?
Good point.
What other major issues were they going to turn heel on if this is a major one for your own life and they couldn't stick with you on it? So it's sad that it fell apart, but maybe for the best in the long run. And if being sober, like, I'm scared. I'll talk to myself about it. Like, maybe I got to get sober or something. It's a scary thing. It's a scary, scary thing.
Yeah.
But then the people that I know that did it, once they finally settle back into knowing, like, oh, they're still hanging out and they'll have the soda water and bitters, or I don't know what you're getting sober from there, Christopher. But still being able to hang out with some of the old friends. And if you're friends, they don't sit there like, fuck, so-and-so doesn't drink. Yeah. This. Like,
I've got friends that are newly sober, and it hasn't changed anything.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be like, hey, man, how's it going? Do you not want me to ask about it? Does that make it worse? Because I'll just pretend like I won't ask if you don't want me to.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before, but Katie and I are in a unique situation where she's sober. She admitted she used to drink a little too much, and it affected her attitude and her behavior. About 3 years ago she quit cold turkey, hadn't had a drop since, and yet I continue. Like, of course, I've said before, this sounds like something an alcoholic would say, but I truly don't think I have a problem. I have, you know, I have few drinks, you know, throughout the course of the week. You know, I don't drink every night, but 3 nights a week I'll have 2 or 3 drinks, sometimes more. When Katie and I got back together, once she got sober, I was like, listen, you know, it will not bother me at all if I need to just keep my drinking away from you. Do that with my buddies on my own time. She's like, absolutely not. It's not a temptation for her.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I'm the kind of guy that it really doesn't affect too much for me. Like, I'm not a mean drunk. I don't go out and do stupid things. I was not drinking the other night when I told that story with what happened with my neighbor, by the way.
That happened in the daytime.
Yeah, that happened at like 7 p.m. We had just gotten home from a movie. I was hopped up on popcorn and soda. But point being, we're an interesting example of how one person could be stone cold sober and the other one just parties. And I do it in front of her. Like, well, I'll sit at home and have a drink and she'll have a fucking soda water.
Yeah, I don't know what your, Christopher, I don't know what your friend group is like. But, you went to rehab and got sober. So that was rehab for sobriety. That was more than just like, oh, I guess I'll knock off the partying for a while. But I don't know. I feel like any rehab place worth its salt would follow through or teach you how to stay on that track.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the AA meeting when I got my DUI. That made me go there.
Really?
But yeah, I went and it was like, oh, these are people that... Because I was forced to go there because it was part of the, you know, the punishment. But
yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, this is helpful for people. Mm-hmm. I don't need... I'm here because of the law, but I don't need these people. Oh, shit, I'm having a weak moment. There's a meeting somewhere all the time.
That's good.
And people to talk you through why you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about, like, do I need to get sober, that kind of thing?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, see, I don't need to get sober. I could benefit from not drinking simply from the calories. I know that, you know, it's hampering my weight loss, and that I get. But I truly don't think it's really ever affected anything other than that.
I was talking with somebody, and they're mentioning somebody new or somebody's father's. Like, oh, yeah, so-and-so. You know, he had to clean it up. He'd been drinking pretty hard for 20 years. And I did the math. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been drinking pretty hard for 20 years.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, as far as health,
I'm not like every day I'm drinking, but I'm drinking, and when I drink a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's often. And I've just, sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm just, I don't want to be hungover. I don't want to be, I'm drinking. Like, why am I drinking? If I'm out, like, why? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
So I could just at 2 a.m. still be awake and get shitty sleep again.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not trying to loosen up socially to meet somebody.
Yeah.
That part's not around. So I don't know, Christopher. I think I don't have advice. I could say good luck, but yeah, the better that she left now, because she's probably going to leave you for something else then anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Find fun sober folks.
They're good
out.
Luck, man.
They're out there.
Noah Nelson asks, least favorite thing about being on the road? That's a good question. Least favorite thing about being on the road?
As a guy who's just been home for 48 hours and has to leave tomorrow, yep. That part.
Yeah. Just constantly having...
Well, I like being home now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I like being home with the missus. I like being home doing my bike rides. When I had no life going on other than get drunk at shows in town and then go on the road and get drunk and party with strangers,
mm-hmm.
Fine. But now I like doing this. Yeah. So I knew I was traveling a bunch this week, so I'm not, or this month, so I'm not upset about it. Mm-hmm. It's awesome, but...
Yeah.
Gets a little exhausting.
Yeah, I'm probably the same way. I don't travel as much as you, as frequently. As we've mentioned before, I go out on these longer stints, but not as frequently. But yeah, just now that I have somebody to come home to, like, that's nice. I may have told the story before, but like, and I always preface this way, you know, it's not a boo-hoo story because it was a self-inflicted hardship, mm-hmm. but one of the most bummer things I remember would be when I was in the van being on tour for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it was, mm-hmm. The tour's over. I'm driving, you know, a couple of days to get home. And not only do I not have, you know, a beautiful fiance to come home to, I didn't even have a home to come home to. So like coming mm-hmm. home from tour just meant pulling into LA and finding a parking spot. And it's like, oh, well, I'm quote unquote home. And that was, you know, again, it was my own doing, it was my own choice, but it was still kind of a bummer. So now it's nice to know that, like, oh yeah, I got a place and a person to come home to. So like you said, that also is the thing that sucks the most now about being on the road is being away from the people you love.
But hardly are not bitching mm. complaints. Mm-mm.
No, I feel very lucky to be able to, you know, to go out and do this shit.
Andy Sanders. Kyle, do you do the Jeep Wave? I do it. My brother does it, but my uncle thinks it's weird. All Wrangler drivers. What are your thoughts on it? No, I don't do it. It's dumb as shit.
What is the Jeep Wave? Have you seen it?
Somebody else drives a Jeep, so you wave at them.
But is there a certain type of wave?
No, you're just like, you have one of these too. In fact, no, it's like, oh, you wearing a shirt? Me too. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but one could argue that that is a bit of a subculture, the Jeep subculture.
Yeah, you know, but like I don't have to acknowledge it.
Yeah. What would be the harm in acknowledging it? Like, hey, man.
Usually I see somebody else in a Jeep, and I don't like them.
Why? Oh, you just don't like the average Jeep person?
Average Jeep people are either just got a Jeep and like, oh, I do a wave now, and that's all right.
Yeah. To,
but the dudes that have the big, just fucking, just the rape tanks, just the full, and mine's 35-inch, I realize that. But the angry eyes on the headlights all that shit, I don't want to know you.
Yeah.
So one guy pulled up next to me, looked like, oh, fucking yeah, dude, right? And I'm like, ugh.
What I used to do when I had a Jeep.
I don't care. I don't make eye contact. I don't want to wave at anybody.
What I would do, you know, now they do have that obviously too for motorcycle folks. You always see the motorcycle guys do it. And they do this wave because they can, because there's no doors. They do like a low angle Heil Hitler. Yeah. You know, they'll do the low. I used to do that in my Jeep when I would, because if I had my doors off, I would do that same thing to other, when I would see motorcycle guys. Just to confuse them.
I thought it was like a thanks for moving out of the way. That's why motorcycle guys do it.
Well, no, they do it to each other.
Oh.
I always see them doing it to each other.
Well, and then I see Sam Thomason writes, if you don't wave back or just raise two fingers off the wheel, you're a dick. Well, I'm a dick then, Sam. Why'd you even buy that thing? Exactly. Why did I buy it? Because I wanted it.
Yeah, not to wait, not to make friends.
I didn't need a fucking community.
I see both sides of that, but yeah.
Bought it because no. Why? Why? Oh, hey, Prius driver, howdy.
Well, there's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about that.
Oh, where really?
Larry sees another Prius driver, and Larry waves, and the guy doesn't wave back, so he speeds up to yell at him, like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, I just really don't care about it. Sorry, Andy. Sorry, Sam. I don't give a shit.
What else we got here?
Well, some of these questions... I don't know how to answer.
Yeah, somebody's
Di Iorio. If you guys ever thought about reaching out to Robert Evans about being guests on an episode of Behind the Bastards, I like Robert Evans. He was the one who did It Could Happen Here podcast.
I don't know that one.
Billy Wayne's always on Behind the Bastards.
Okay.
He just kind of I have not listened to it. I think they talk about just real sons of bitches from history.
I almost moved into Billy Wayne's guest house. I haven't talked to you since then.
No.
Yeah. The other day, just so happened, like right when we got our 3-day notice, Billy has in the past hit me up like, hey, you need a place?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, hey, is your place open? And it was. And we went and looked at it. And it's cute. It's really nice. It's just way too small.
Yeah.
And just
for the both of you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be much for two people.
Yeah, it's perfect for like, you know, a college student with no pets or something. But two adults and three pets, that would have been tough. But that'd have been neat to have been right in old B Dub's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We'd never got anything done.
All right. Yeah. Well, I usually don't ask about being a guest. You usually are asked.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I've never asked to be a guest on somebody's show.
Canned Rock says, "Hey Dave, congrats. Also, have you ever been told you bear a striking similarity to Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids?"
I've heard of that band name. I wouldn't know them.
I don't picture as a Matt Pryor.
I don't know who that is.
I love the Get Up Kids.
I don't know who they are. I mean, I've heard the name, but I wouldn't know their music.
Nah, it's just the guy. It's just guys with beards. Everybody's like, yeah, you're the same.
Oh, yeah.
You look like a guy with a beard, and you look like this other guy with a beard.
Hey, going back to your previous thing about asking to be on podcast, a couple years ago, I was doing a show somewhere. I think it was at Flappers. And it was, we have since had a few guests on, but at the time we had never had a guest. And this is before we even did like a live show, you know. Mm-hmm. But this guy is like, hey man, hey Dave. He was on the show too. Man, I love your podcast, man. If you guys ever, I'd love to be a guest sometime. And I go, you like to be a guest on the Boogie Monster? And he goes, yeah, man. It's like, you listen to the Boogie Monster? I listen to every episode. I was like, who's your favorite guest that we've had on? He goes, oh, man, I like them all. And I was like, yeah, we've never had a guest.
Who, all right, who was it?
I was just some guy I didn't even know. Oh. It was like literally, it was just a comic. But I mean, I kept egging him on like, you like him?
Well, that's that Hollywood thing of like, oh, I'm going to hustle and schmooze everybody. Have a little base knowledge. You got to be better with your scamming.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see like asking like, I'll be a guest. Oh, we don't have guests. Well, if you ever do. But acting like, yeah.
But I even said, who's your favorite guest we've had on? And he goes, oh, I've liked everybody you've had on there. And I was like, we've never had anybody, dude. But thanks for your hustle.
Sam Thomason, who already doesn't like me. I don't wave at other people that bought Jeeps, the other people that bought poor purchases for vehicles. Said, resubmitted because you didn't get to it once, and I found it funny. Let's say you snuck into Dracula or any vampire's lair during the daytime, opened his coffin, and drew dicks all over his face. How would he ever know? If he looked in the mirror, would the Sharpie dicks just float there above his clothes, or would they not show up at all? I imagine there would be a lot of confusion, since one day his victims would scream in terror, then snicker right before he feeds on them. All right, well.
That's well thought out, Sam.
Is it they can't? Yeah, they can't see themselves. So, but he wouldn't look in a mirror anyway, because he knows he can't see himself. But how about this, Sam? If you opened up his coffee during the daytime, he would shrivel if there was sunlight anyway.
That's true.
It's a good. This is a good one, though. Mm-hmm. This is a. This is the proper kind of curiosity that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would happen if you... Who would, no, you have to invite vampires in. Is it the other way? Can you go into their house without them?
Don't jump on the balcony.
That's a new thing. I didn't know you had to invite vampires in.
I wouldn't aware of that.
That's like... that's why there's a vampire movie called Let Them In or Invite
the, Let the Right One In or something like that. Yeah. That was good. I watched that one.
Which, all these things, if you've ever watched, they just made a TV show about it. What was it? Fuck. It's an Australia, New Zealand vampire spoof thing. What We Do in Shadows.
Right. With the dude from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. Very funny movie. And mm-hmm. They want to get into a bar. And the door guy has to, like, all right, ask us to come in. Fuck off, man. Just go in. No, ask us to come in. So they're just arguing with this bouncer to get into a nightclub.
That's funny.
They hit all the tropes very well. That's my thing. If you open his coffin during the daytime, he would shrivel up because it's the daytime. He can't be exposed. Which seems like that'd be an easier way to just kill vampires instead of trying to wait for them to be alive at night and you have to have a wooden stake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would know. Or if, as soon as you start drawing on them, I don't know how deep of a sleeper the vampires are.
Yeah.
Good question.
Hmm. What else we got? Chris.
Dave, or Jeep questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a big Jeep. You want to get that one real quick?
No.
From Robert? No.
As if we weren't qualified enough.
Yeah, Robert.
Hey, Dave and Kyle, my birthday present myself is becoming a booger. Happy birthday.
Robert
Berberich. My question is for Kyle. I'm a Jeep owner. 2012 JK two-door. Also have a six-speed. I was wondering if you have any tips or tricks for running stick off-road and what's your setup. I have 12.5 lift and 35 1250 15s. I also upgraded 410s and Power Mac limited slips. I'm going to go on some squatching adventures out west soon. Illinois boy. Jamie Neep Canyonero. I appreciate that. Thanks for bringing it. Funny, we're going to try in some Dave's recipes for this Thanksgiving. Sorry for mumbling through all that. A lot of that I didn't understand. Some of it I did. I have a 2-inch lift and 35s. I forgot. I think I got 17. So you got big, big fat tires on there. And you got the 410s. I got the Rubicon, so it already had 410s in there. I don't know what Powertrax limited strips are.
What are the 410s? What's that in reference to?
410s are axles.
If
you're going off-roading, get yourself a compressor, either on board or something you can bring with, so you can let all the air out of those tires and get a lot of grip. Just be careful of the tires slipping off the bead, unless you're getting bead locks on there. I don't have bead locks, and I would not know what to do if my tire fell off the bead. But I take the pressure out. I go down to about 15 PSI in each one.
Have you used your winch?
I did. I got stuck up in Gorman with Orbital on some obstacle course and slid off. And
that's awesome.
Up. I'm glad I finally used the winch.
That's such a good thing to have.
Well, because there's no mud or anything. Uh-huh. I tried to get it stuck in sand in Moab, like sat in real loose sand, going slow, trying to get it sunk down. But because I had taken all the air out of the tires, that gave me the traction to get out. So that's been a great, easy fix for things is – having a onboard compressor so when you do hit hard road or blacktop, you can fill them back up without finding a gas station. Stick off road is a pain in the ass. Learn how to finesse that. I kept screwing up and forgetting to put it in four low or have it in four high when I was going over stuff. Utilize that four low. This, I don't feel comfortable giving up too much more advice. I'm sure I'm destroying my Jeep every time I go off-roading with it. And then I'm sure I'm going to be in trouble because I didn't wave at somebody else who had a Jeep, and then I'll need help. And they'll be like, go fuck yourself. You didn't mm-hmm. wave. Luke, what's the craziest thing you guys have seen or experienced on mushrooms? All of it, man. They're mushrooms. They're good for your mind.
I saw... It was when we were tripping together one time. Me and my friend both saw a shooting star, but A, it was green. It was neon green. And B, I'm convinced that it zigzagged. Now, granted, I was tripping balls on mushrooms.
Yeah, you don't get to say UFO if it was mushrooms.
I didn't say it was a UFO, but it looked like a shooting star, but it was neon green, and it did a one quick little zigzag.
Oh, I've watched whole landscapes move in opposition of one another, like a Super Mario background on mushroom. Yeah. I watched the floors slide under the wall.
Yeah.
I watched my toes grow and shrink when I was barefooted.
That's great.
I love it. Everybody should do it.
Chris Wiken. So what are your plans after comedy? Do you guys have a retirement fund set up, or you just want to go have to get a job at Kroger until you hang yourself in a hallway house like in Shawshank?
Well, that's, no, man, this is it.
Took a weird turn there, Chris.
This is it.
Yeah, if I ever stop doing comedy, the only other thing I would want to do to make a living, I'm probably going to do, the plan is to do these in conjunction, but I'm going to have a record store. I'd love to just have a record store to hang out all day.
Yeah, that's a financially sound way to go after comedy doesn't work, is vinyl records.
Well, Mr. Dumbass, I meant to say smartass, not dumbass, but did you know that this is the first year since 1986 that vinyl has outsold CDs? Granted, CDs have been dead for a while.
Yeah, that's a shit argument.
I just realized. Yeah, but vinyl's making
it's
a comeback.
Like, this is the first year cordless phones outsold rotary phones. Doesn't mean... What, because they sold 7 instead of 6? Fucking, yeah.
Vinyl's coming back, dude.
Sure it is. Go enjoy the Amoeba Records shutdown sale. Vinyl exists.
They're not shutting down. They're moving. They're getting forced out of their lease. The business isn't shutting. They're going to relocate.
Oh, that's good.
That building's being turned.
I don't give a shit about vinyl, but I'm glad it's there.
Yeah. And they sell more vinyl than they do anything else in that store.
Yeah,
and they sell the shit.
Nobody wants anything else.
Yeah, so, because everybody wants vinyl, which means it's a good business plan.
Anybody who's still buying physical copies of music is buying vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a small percentage of people that listen to music. I'm so glad to not need physical copies of music. It's one less thing to just not have.
Oh, it's fun. I love it.
I know some people like it. I don't care.
Going to have a nice little record store somewhere. I don't know where.
You know? All right.
Being like my little hangout, my little clubhouse. Mm-hmm. All the nerds can come in and we can talk about.
Down to Chapter 11 records. Well, that was two Shawshank things. I don't have a plan. I'm going to do comedy and save all my money from comedy and then just do comedy less.
Spend the rest of my life spending.
Yeah. Yeah. Semi-retired, man. Phase 3. Mm-hmm. Do comedy when I want to do comedy.
Because
I guess that was two Shawshank Redemption. Because Jake Rivera before says, and this ties to our earlier question, hey, guys, in Shawshank Redemption, Andy Dufresne claims that nobody pays attention to your shoes. I tend to agree. How much stock do you put in someone's choice of footwear? That's wrong. People do pay attention to shoes. I pay attention to shoes. If I'm on set or I see somebody who has to work on their feet all day, I look at what footwear they're wearing. Because I'm assuming that's the most comfortable footwear.
Just like Forrest Gump said.
What, did he say that?
He said you can tell a lot about somebody by looking at their shoes.
Oh.
I bet you could walk all day in shoes like that and not feel a thing. And then she goes, my feet hurt.
Oh.
Like, you're an idiot. Stop talking to me.
Oh, the lady on the bus, bitch. Well, like crew guys, if they're wearing like a certain brand of hiking boot or something like those, must be real comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, now that, you know, chefs, speaking of the Crocs, they always wear Crocs. Mm-hmm. And I think it's mostly because they're incredibly comfortable. And also, you can spill shit on them and they're rubber and you wash them right off.
And you don't slip.
You don't slip in them, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in that sense, I pay attention to what people are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for a certain task.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, again, back to the fashion footwear, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Or if I see, like, I like seeing somebody who's, like the rest of their outfit's probably cool and up to date or whatever, but then their footwear is sensible. Like, if there's a server in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and they look cool, but then you look at their shoes, and they're not wearing cool shoes. They're wearing, like, comfortable,
mm-hmm.
I got to be on my feet all day. She's like, yeah, you know, your priorities are right.
Yeah.
Seeing somebody bartend double shift in Chuck Taylor's, I'm like, my feet hurt. I'm like, yeah. That's your fault.
Oh. I got one here. Tom Dave, you sometimes briefly mention you have a brother, but you don't talk about him as much as your parents or Kyle does about his parents and sister. Is he like you or very different? For some reason, it would be very amusing to see two Dave Stones rolling about the countryside looking for coyotes to wrangle. I don't talk enough about my brother, and that's not on purpose. We have a good relationship. Not that we don't have a good relationship. We've never had beef. We've never had an issue, but we haven't lived together in 22 years. Longer than that. Yes, I moved out of the house in 96. So, yeah, 23 years we haven't lived together. And for 23 years we haven't lived in the same state. I just don't see him very often.
Didn't grow up close.
We grew up close. And here's the other thing. He's technically, and not that he cares about this, he's my half-brother. But he's always just been my brother. We grew up together in the same house. We have different dads. But no, he is nothing like me. He is he's 6'3", about 160. He's really tall and skinny, and he's just. I'm not going to call him a pejorative or anything, but he's a passive guy. He's a pacifist. He's not interested in. He doesn't like conflict.
He's just a mellow dude.
Yeah, he's very mellow, and he's just we couldn't have more opposite lifestyles. You know, now I'm starting to settle down, but for years I was just a lone wolf traveling the countryside doing comedy, and he's the type of guy. He spent 15 years in the military, in the Air Force, and then he got out and then did the exact same job. He's an IT guy. He runs the IT at a big hospital in Louisville. A real book smart guy. And the only thing we really connect over and bond over is sports. Both big sports fans. Both root for the same teams, the Falcons, Braves, and the Dogs. But other than that, we don't have much in common. But I've grown to appreciate him more and more in that, not to get into too much family stuff here, but Katie and her sister are just constantly at odds. Of course, I only hear Katie's side of the story. And, you know, if I had to guess, I would side with Katie that most of the trouble's coming from somewhere else. But they're just, for whatever reason, just, you know, and then they'll get back to, you know, they'll reconcile and be good for a few months. But it's just constant drama between those two. So that has made me appreciate Jay. That's his name, by the way, Jay, more in that, like, we're both just so low maintenance. Like, we've never... As adults, I can't ever remember having an argument or a crossword. It's always just like, hey, you're good, I'm good, you know, holler if you need anything, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll talk to him on the phone about once a month, and I'll see him about once a year. And, it would be nice. If we lived closer to each other, we'd probably hang out more and have a tighter relationship. But, just kind of an average Joe, but just a good dude. And, likes his job, likes his kid, likes his wife. And, that's about it. But, yeah, he's a good dude. Old Jay Stone. So, yeah, good dude.
Yeah, he's just, he's your man in the Midwest.
That's right. Oh, ask me this one here from Jay Jensen.
Okay, it says, Kyle, read first. Seinfeld trivia. Dave, I challenge you to show off your Seinfeld knowledge. In Season 8, Episode 6, The Fatigues, Kramer cooks a specific Jewish delicacy that he asked Jerry to try. He doesn't, says it's awful. What delicacy did Kramer just ask Jerry to try?
I'm not going to lie, Jay. I know the answer, but I did see that you put the answer. But I did sincerely know the answer, and the answer is kreplach. Now, I don't know what kreplach is. When you look at that scene, it looks like it might be some sort of like Jewish dumpling or pork bun type thing. But that is one of my favorite scenes because Kramer is going to a Jewish singles mixer and he volunteered himself to cook all the food, even though Kramer, they never reference him being much of a cook.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite lines is in that scene. And the whole point of that scene is he sucks. He doesn't have any skills. And he makes Jerry eat the kreplach, and Jerry takes a bite and he goes, oh, this is awful. And he goes, well, the recipe was for 4 to 6 people. I had to multiply for 183 people. I guess I got confused. And he's like screaming down the hallway. He goes, I got 3 kitchens going. I got brisket going at Newman's. I got, what's he say? I got Cooley working at Mrs. Antana's or something. And then Jerry goes, oh, it tastes like dirt. He goes, well, I dropped it on the way over. But just that line, I had to multiply for 183 people. I guess I got confused. But yeah, I'm a big – I've yet to meet anybody that can match me in my Seinfeld trivia. And I mean like actual trivia.
You should go to a Seinfeld trivia night.
I should. I didn't even know.
Orange County now. They love that kind of white person shit.
Like, and I don't mean like the dumb questions like how many times in nine seasons does
people do that stuff
for Elaine Yale get out? Like I don't know that shit, but I know Jerry's address. I know all the – even the most minor characters' names. Like – I don't know. It just sticks with me because I've literally been watching that show for 30 years now. Literally, it's – I think that pilot aired in 89, and it's just one of those shows I've always loved, even though I had no connection to it. I've never lived in New York. I'm not Jewish, like even though none of the characters are Jewish except for Jerry. But like, you know, Jason Alexander's Jewish. Michael Richards' Jewish. I think Michael – anyway, it's a very – there's a lot of Jewish humor in the show. But for some reason, it just always connected to me and like just the subtlety and the absurdness. I will say, like, as the show goes on, it got really absurd and silly.
Yeah, I started leaning like what people responded
like
to.
Like, really silly. Like, in the seasons, like, 8 and 9, like, when Kramer – did we talk about this? When Kramer was using butter as suntan lotion and he fell asleep and he sautéed himself and then Newman wanted to eat him.
Yeah, thought he was a turkey.
Just really stupid shit.
Yeah, get weird. Once you got full – you know, everybody tries so hard to impress network executives when they're trying to sell a TV show.
Yeah.
And they don't know. And they talk about it in the show. They don't – executives don't know what the fuck they want. And then you get the show and it barely makes it. And then once you prove it's a hit, and you can be like, hey, you guys were wrong. We were right. And they're like, yeah, here's a blank check. Do whatever you want with the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Hey, anybody who's really into Seinfeld, here's the thing to look for. Here's a fun Easter egg. In one episode, we meet somebody's friend named Ian. Not Ian, but Ian. It might be when I think it's the episode where Lane's dating the ponytail dude who works at the clothing store, and he promised to get her a deal on a Nicole Miller dress. But anyway, we meet this guy named Ian, and he's like about a 60-year-old blonde-headed dude with a blonde goatee. If you look closely, that actor, he shows up as an extra in no shit 40, 50 episodes. Yeah, because that's what, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes when I'm really high watching a TV show, I will focus on all the background shit, especially a show like that that I've seen a dozen times.
I'm watching Mad Men now, and I'm like, where's that guy from?
Like, yeah.
I'm on IMDb the whole time.
Yeah. What's that guy I love from? Doing that. Where do I know that face? But look for Ian. The 60-year-old blonde-headed dude, he shows up in so many. Now, he's only got a couple of speaking lines that I know of, but as an extra, you will just see him in the background in so many damn episodes. It's really great. And they'll also do, occasionally, you'll see the same actor play two different roles. Like, for example, Jake Jarmel, who is one of Elaine's boyfriends, who is an author, and then she goes to his book signing and tries to find out where he got his glasses, blah, blah, blah. He's also the cop in the Keys episode when they come in season 2 or 3 when they come out to LA for a few episodes. He's the cop that they call when they find out that Kramer's on the news because he's been accused of being a serial killer. But they'll do that occasionally. Like speaking roles will they'll recycle actors. I always find that interesting.
Well,
so yeah, there's your Seinfeld talk.
Yeah, I think you would do very good at a trivia night. Joey Pancakes, what pointless hill are you willing to die on? Probably that Jeep Wave one if we're talking about this episode.
Yeah. Me? White meat chicken sucks.
All right. Sucks or just isn't good as dark meat?
Sucks.
Straight up, you want to eat chicken or no?
Chicken breast. If that's what's for dinner, I'll find something else to eat.
Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich.
Well, that's a little different.
Is it? Mm-hmm. It's white meat chicken.
Well, it's not the whole breast.
Sit down, Dave.
It's not the whole breast.
You just kept putting your place.
Well, here you go, ham bone. You know how you can make that sandwich 1,000 fucking times better? If it was a goddamn thigh. So you sit down.
Yeah, but it's not.
You sit down.
Do you like that sandwich?
It's okay.
But you eat it. Does it suck? Does that sandwich suck?
Okay. Better argument. My favorite sandwich in the world is, in fact, chicken breast. I wasn't thinking Howlin' Rays, but that's because
your statement's incorrect. If white meat chicken sucks and Howlin' Rays chicken sandwich is made out of white meat chicken, then Howlin' Rays sucks. That's not a true statement, according to Dave Stone.
White meat chicken other than Howlin' Race fucking sucks. It just, it's an inferior part of the bird.
Because white meat chicken can be just fine.
My whole point is, though, they market it like it's premium. Like they use that as a selling point. Oh, now 100% all white meat chicken. Well, who gives a shit? Give me some fucking dark meat.
I mean, I agree that it's better than white meat.
There's nothing I love fried chicken on the bone, thighs and legs, but man, when they fucking try to throw a breast in there acting like they're doing you a favor. I've had arguments with fucking employees at Popeyes, and I'm like, can I get all dark meat? And they're like, no, it says it's one of each. And I'm like, the dark meat's cheaper, trust me. Let me talk to your manager. I guarantee you he would rather.
Idiots coming in here don't want it.
Exactly. But I guarantee your manager would be glad to give me all dark meat because he knows that that's the profit margin's different.
I agree with you entirely. I don't think it sucks, though. I mean, you give me a piece of fried chicken.
Big dried ass. It's all dry.
If it's made well, it's still pretty good. It's chicken, Dave. It's all good. You don't hate it. You don't hate chicken, Dave.
Dave, you're just, in a mood.
Don't curse this world saying you hate any kind of chicken.
I hate how white meat chicken is marketed as.
It's usually,
I hope that picked up.
Yeah, well, who knows?
As a well timed toot, if you missed that at home.
Got the farts.
God, you got the butt thunder today, bud. All right, we should probably wrap this up. We got show business shit to tend to.
Things. William Peck, would you two smoke with someone after a show if all they wanted was a smoke and a general conversation, not to go hang out like teenagers?
I've done that dozens of times.
Yeah, if you're talking about pot, I'm just no good on pot. I'm no good around people on pot. That's why I usually don't do it. Or if I do it, I'll smoke your pot and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. And that's just not very gracious. So
I do it if I've walked to the show or someone. Like, I don't want to get fucking blazed after show and then drive 3 miles back to the hotel.
No, not at all.
But yeah, I've done that a lot.
Any quickies coming through here?
Somebody asked, where's the one about the wedding band?
More Jeep questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions. Daniel Rodriguez asked, Dave, now that you're engaged, what is your dream wedding band? What song would you like your first dance to be set to? I would be tickled pink if the Drive-By Truckers played my wedding. And, while maybe not the mood, lyrically, I guess I would have to go with their song from Decoration Day called Marry Me. It's a good song. A little Toe Tepper.
Sweetheart ones in there.
Marry Me. Yeah, they got a bunch of good ones. But usually most every Drive-By Trucker song, somebody dies. So I don't know if that's great wedding music. But for my personal taste, get old DBT to play my wedding.
Yeah. Jeff Klein. I'm going to answer another Jeep question. I'm in the zone. Jeff Klein. Thinking of getting a Jeep Wrangler. Any specific recommendations on aftermarket improvements, accessories? Don't get caught up in all the bullshit. I did.
Uh-huh.
And then I started selling off all this aftermarket shit I got.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what's an example of something you...
Well, it's like camping, where you go in an REI, and you're like, well, I might need it.
Yeah.
Find out really what you're going to do with that Jeep.
Because
there's so much... That's what Jeep stands for, a joke, is just empty every pocket. That's a big old joke.
Never heard that.
Well, when you drive a Jeep, they tell you what that... So, a lot of it's cosmetic. I've used my winch once in the 5 years I've had it.
But that's a good thing to have.
I was glad I had it. I was doing stuff that I was purposely going, I might get stuck. It wasn't like, oh, whoops, happenstance. Mm-hmm. Take it out, depending on which one you're getting, and go banging around the dirt a little bit. They're trail ready, especially if you get a Rubicon or something like that. But I think tires and wheels always look nice on it with a lift, but then you start getting into that. There's so much shit you can buy for it. Drive it around and get settled into it. Don't act hurriedly. You will look like a teen who started getting plastic surgery too early, and then they have to get plastic surgery to fix the plastic surgery. Or like when people like myself have to get cover-up tattoos.
I'll say this.
Sit with it for a while.
As I mentioned before, I've owned two Jeeps, but it's been a long, long time. I hope to own a third one day. But for my personal taste, and it's even if it's purely aesthetic and you're not going to utilize it, a Jeep – with factory tires and wheels, what's the fucking point? I got to have some bigger. Got to have at least some 31s.
Yeah.
Preferably 33s or 35s.
Yeah.
But, like, just when I see a Jeep, just bone stock factory tires, like, ugh.
Well, there's street tires on there now. Like, when I got the Rubicon, it was still it was mud tires, which is not great for Southern California. So I got wheels, but I kept the tires. I got wheels, which was not smart. And thinking, like, well, let me hang on to these tires. Let me get wheels that'll still work with these tires. That's not what you do. You get wheels and tires as a package.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Now I got these Pro Comp things on there, which got a little bit more life left to them.
I didn't realize yours were 35s. Back in the day when I was fucking around with Jeeps, this was back in the 90s, like, yes, I was aware of 35s, but, like, even, like, the most everybody stopped at 33. Like, oh, shit, that was the upgrade from 31. Like, oh, you got 33s.
Yeah, I didn't need 35.
And now everybody's, I see a lot with 35s. Like, oh, shit.
I didn't need 35.
It looks good.
I didn't need any of this shit.
Looks good.
I could have kept the same fenders. I should have kept the fenders. I just got rid of the Gobi rack and sold that off because I wasn't using it. I'm selling a lot of stuff that I'm not using. I'll tell you that much.
Hmm.
So really sit long and hard with some choices. And take a chance to go to an off-road show and see the products you want on the Jeep. Because some of the stuff you see in a catalog looks a lot different when you get it on the car.
Real quick, what's something you do want to upgrade in the near future? If money was no object. Just, I
wouldn't have a Jeep. Get something else.
Oh, really?
If money's no object, I would get a Bollinger. It's an electric, but it looks like an old Defender, an old Bronco.
Okay.
All the gauges are manual. It looks real basic, but it's an all-electric off-road.
Really?
Truck. Yeah, like $150,000. Jesus. It's ridiculous.
Well, all right. With your Jeep, keeping
with mine,
it, what's something you want to upgrade? Instead of, you know, all the
shit. I'm done doing stuff to it.
Really?
There's nothing else. I might tinker around with the inside to make it a more inhabitable camping setup. Because now I keep my bike in it at all times. Because that's the only thing I do with it. I drive to either go camp or go bike. And camping, not as often. But the bike, instead of having it on the tow hitch rack and taking it on and off and worry about it if it's sitting out there locked. So I just keep it locked inside the car.
Yeah.
But I only have one seat in my Jeep. I don't have any other seats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't even have the passenger seat?
No, I want to sleep in it.
Interesting.
Which I want to do in December, go camp and do bike ride stuff. So, oh, boy. Well, I don't know if that was information. Hillary had a good thought-out question. Let's do one well-thought-out question.
All right.
Hillary says, do you think that since Christianity stole so much of their history from pagans, that the things the pagans believe were real, but because the true practice has been lost over the years, we don't see the same mystical things that the pagans did a long time ago happening now? That's a great one. So the pagans are the ones that experienced the mysticism,
mm-hmm.
and Christians are the ones that had to stomp it out to dominate it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the history from the pagans that maybe they did see a lot. I mean, that's you're getting into your ancient aliens territory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of comments, but I think that's maybe yes, Hillary. That's a very good observation that maybe Christianity just beat all the mystery out of that pagan history. So beat the mystery out that history.
Ooh. Yeah. I agree.
Got hard beef right now.
Man.
All right.
Oh,
good question, Hillary.
Farts McGee.
Not a lot of creative response.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Let's put her down.
Put her, who, Hillary?
Like she's Hillary.
Like she's a horse that broke her leg.
You're too smart for this place. Put you down.
Guys, thank you so much. Sincerely, we appreciate the shit out of you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should have a Dave's Kitchen up pretty soon before Thanksgiving. I got to
put that stuffing recipe back out there.
That's what I was going to do. Why, did somebody ask about that?
No, I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just because stuffing.
Yeah, I haven't done a video on
stuffing.
As
a guy going into the holidays as a vegetarian for the first time, I really need some of that stuffing.
Well, mine's got sausage in it. Yeah. So, but put the fake sausage
in it. Or any kind
it.
Of stuff. I love stuff. I'll sit there with a bowl of stuff.
Yeah.
Stuffing's fucking great.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do for Dave's Kitchen. Should be, it'll drop before Thanksgiving, hopefully a few days before Thanksgiving. And, got any more questions? I'll probably be talking about the brine recipe. Everybody wants to know about my brine. So I'll talk about that too. So, Yeah, man.
But yeah, patrons, love the shit out of you. Really appreciate it. Tell a friend. $4 a month, you get all this stupid bullshit like you're hearing right now.
Get this shit.
So, but like Hardy Boy Chevrolet used to say back in Georgia, we love you and we need you.
Hardy Boy Chevrolet.
Hardy Boy Chevrolet, we love you and we need you. Oh, boy.
Find these deals. No, it's just trying to make Hardy Boys.
I see what you did there.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.